Wake Up with Bill Finch is live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut. Speak your mind. 203-333-9422.
And welcome to Wake Up on this cold Sunday morning here. A lot of people are probably just waking up and seeing that the temperature is very cold. And coming in today, there were very few people on the road. We have a new producer today. And Laura, could you tell me the studio number for a guest to call in on? We're waiting for State Senator Julie Kushner, who's waiting patiently at home. I believe she now has, she's called in. And as we wait to have her patch through, I just want to, let's go over this week a little bit here. I'm sure people are staying home listening to this show, and it's cold outside, and it's even colder in the annals of history, in the annals of America, standing up for democracy. This is one of the coldest periods, certainly the coldest period of my 68 years here living in America. We saw this week a man, let's call him Treasonous Trump and Vacillating Vance. They went on the air and staged as part of their coup of overthrowing our democracy, they went after one of the bravest men on the planet right now, Vladimir Zelensky, who is been fighting off the hordes from Russia and North Korea who have invaded his country. And then our president had the temerity to say that he picked a bad war, Zelensky did. He was invaded by a bloodthirsty, autocratic, anti-democratic regime that this past week, the Treasonous Trump administration voted with North Korea and Russia against guaranteeing the stability and safety of Ukraine. Now, how disgusting is that? Now, we expect that from totalitarian countries. We expect that from North Korea. We expect that from people who deny people their rights and their liberties. We don't expect that from the United States of America. Treasonous Trump, go home. It's bad enough that some of my family and friends voted for this treasonous man. But after two impeachments, after multiple guilty convictions, after hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in fines for his illegal behavior, after his early career of bankrupting building trade contractors, who I work for now, in his casinos, after phony corporation, after phony grift, after his racist policies and how he rented his apartments, people still voted for him. But after January 6th, we never thought anybody in their right mind could vote for Treasonous Trump. But they did, by a slim majority. The greatest democracy on the planet, the strongest democracy on the planet. Certainly, we're not as democratic as some other countries, but we're very democratic and we're very powerful. But this week, this petulant, dangerous, disgusting tirade from the White House, we all had to be embarrassed by that. We have voted against every democracy on the planet at the United Nations this week. And then we had our president and vice president attack a brave man who's under siege by an authoritarian dictator. I'm reading a biography about Jackie Kennedy, and we're at the point of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Now, just to remind our listeners who may be a little bit younger than me, the Cuban Missile Crisis was the Russians were building nuclear weapons on the island of Cuba, 90 miles from Florida. Within a few minutes' strike, nuclear weapons would be hitting the United States. And our brave President Kennedy, who was a man of letters, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, a Harvard-educated highly decorated sailor in World War II, knew the climate, knew the understanding of the world, knew diplomacy, knew how dangerous the world could be. They had lectures in the White House about history and diplomacy for the families of the cabinet members and the cabinet members. This was the height of intellectualism, the height of understanding the world. And look how far we've sunk. We have a thug. We have somebody who couldn't even be on The Sopranos. He's so thuggish. And this is who represents the greatest democracy on the planet. How can anybody listening, how could anybody, Senator Kushner, ever in their right mind vote for this guy after what we've seen? Good morning. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know if you heard my little intro here.
I did. I heard the intro. And
I'm flabbergasted. Boy, how about you?
Well, I'm pretty speechless. I'm fortunate in my family. I think there's only one member of my family who voted for Trump, and we don't talk about it with her. But really, I haven't had that experience where people close to me voted for him, and I don't know what I would say to them, because it is hard to understand, to comprehend, really, how we've gotten here. I know there's always been hatred. There's always been racist. There's always been bigotry in the United States, and not everyone had a wonderful growing up like I did. Many, many people suffered greatly in this country. It wasn't great for them. It wasn't great when people were being lynched, even in my early childhood years. So, you know, we really can't say we were ever great for everyone. But, you know, we weren't where we are today, where so many people really feed off of the bullying that they see in the White House, and they think it's great. I think they wish they had the ability to bully people. Maybe that's the function of too many people in our country. Too many people grew up being bullied, either within their family. But I don't know. I'm speechless. It's really hard to understand. But I do know, one thing I know is that here in Connecticut, we have the opportunity to, through government and with government, do better. And certainly we're trying to do that and maintain, you know, not only the things that we have, but, you know, do better for people.
Well, I'm so happy to welcome you to the show, because the purpose of this show is to give a bit of a counterbalance to the screaming garbage that we hear on all radio stations from the right. People who believe it's their right to spew lies and misinformation and get everybody all worked up and emotional without any facts or figures to back them up. I'm continually battling family, friends, and foes on Facebook with some of their BS that they don't have any facts. They're just angry. You know, there were more people right. angry about tampons in the boys' room than they were about poor children starving or workers' rights being eliminated or our climate crisis not being addressed. So, obviously, there's a lot of anger and mistrust and dissatisfaction. But, you know, when you look back at history, you bring that up about in our lifetimes, I'm not going to divulge your age, but we're of similar age.
Oh, you can. I'm older than you are. That's fine.
and you look stunningly wonderful. And
I'm so
happy to be friends with a great, healthy, happy, and Democrat, pro-worker chairman of our labor committee here, who we welcome here on Wake Up This Morning. But We think back in our lifetime, Julie, that we saw fire hoses turned on young black children. We saw police dogs turned on young black children. And we saw the bodies of innocent black people being hung from trees. We saw that in our lifetime. And we saw a president, and President Kennedy, who proposed the Civil Rights Act and said to white America, "Who among you would trade places?" That kind of bravery we haven't seen since in large doses. And I wear my Kennedy socks just about every other day, because I want people to remember, when you have a literate, heroic man in the White House or woman who can provide that counter to those bad tendencies you talked about. Maybe there were a lot of children bullied that we didn't do enough, and now they want to in turn bully others. But let's turn it to the Connecticut, as you mentioned. Before we go to the break, let's just mention today in the Connecticut Post, the article that Bill Cummings wrote, I'm sure a lot of you have seen it by now. It talks about millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars that will be cut from Connecticut to address the medical and food needs of our most vulnerable. Medicaid and food stamps and SNAP are going to be cut in order to continue to fund the tax cuts for the wealthiest. What are we going to do, Julie, if that happens? I know that you work so hard for workers and the poor to level the playing field in your district in Danbury. What do we do if Congress does cut all of this aid to the most needy in order to fund the wealthiest tax cut? What do we do?
Well, obviously, I know what the move that Congress made last week with their budget resolution. There are estimates ranging from $1 billion to $2 billion that we could lose in Medicaid funding here in the state of Connecticut. Just in Connecticut, $1 to $2 billion. And while we've done very well, our economy is strong here in Connecticut, and we've had, you know, record surpluses over the last many years.
Good job there. Good job.
It's been fabulous. We have the largest rainy day fund in the country. And so Connecticut is strong financially, but let's be honest.
And let's be honest, thanks to the Democrats.
Absolutely.
And some Republicans helping, yeah.
But if we look at our rainy day fund, which is $4.1 billion right now, if we were to have to make up the $1 to $2 million, billion dollars in Medicaid cuts, our rainy day fund wouldn't last long at all. And so I think, you know, we're fortunate in Connecticut. I think there are things we can do in terms of our economy is strong. We can look to adjust the fiscal controls that were put in place that helped produce this level of wealth in Connecticut. But I think we're going to have to do more. Adjusting the guardrails is one way. But, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day right here in Danbury, and, you know, obviously we weren't aligned politically. And he was saying, you know, when I was pushing back about the cuts in Medicaid that are coming from Washington, he was saying, well, other states know how to do this better. Well, that's not true. If you look at other states, and, you know, unfortunately, some of us, I come from Nebraska, and I still have family in Nebraska. And yesterday actually was the anniversary of the death of my brother, the one-year anniversary, and he was living in Nebraska. And he was living, you know, with cancer and struggling, disabled because of it. And the Medicaid payments he got, you know, it was quite difficult for him. So other states aren't doing better than we are doing. That's just a fallacy that is perpetuated by some of our Republican colleagues who always want to take more. For people who are struggling, we still aren't doing enough in the state of Connecticut. It's just the fact. And we have way too many kids don't have good health care, don't have access to health care, too many families. We don't have enough child care slots for folks. And it's not just the working poor in our state. It's middle-class families that are struggling to make ends meet. So I feel like we need to do more. We need to talk about wealth and how wealth is taxed in our state, because, in fact, many people are doing very well.
We're going to have to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with more from State Senator Julie Kuster, the chair of the very powerful Labor Committee in our legislature in the Capitol. We'll be back after a few announcements.
It's time to wake up with Bill Finch, 203-333-9422. Only on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And we're back with State Senator Julie Kuster from the great city of Danbury. And Senator Kuster chairs the Labor Committee, a very powerful committee if you are a worker, which many people listening to the show are workers. I am a worker. Julie is a worker. We're all workers. So this committee is very important to everybody. Whether you're in a union or not in a union, this committee makes the laws that affect you and your workplace and your paycheck. And I know you have some high priorities this year. We saw this week, I'm not sure you're aware of it, but three active job sites in the city of Bridgeport were shut down because they had unqualified, unlicensed, in many cases undocumented workers building these construction projects. And a climate like you have in Danbury, like we used to have in Bridgeport, without talking about names, where the leadership is very pro-labor, pro-protection of workers, those kind of developers are not welcome. Unfortunately, now in Bridgeport, these three developers are bottom-of-the-barrel types of developers who seem to think they can flaunt the laws. Now, tell me, Julie, you have laws that are going to – you have one bill in particular I know that's very important to your co-chair, Manny Sanchez from New Britain, about increasing the number of inspectors. Tell our listeners why that's so important. state inspectors.
Absolutely. I mean, if we have laws and we don't have enough people working for the state to enforce those laws, then what good are the laws to begin with? And we have heard about lengthy delays that people have when they're fighting wage claims. We know there are many job sites like the ones you just mentioned where we don't have enough inspectors to make sure that that the work is being carried out properly in accordance with all of the laws of Connecticut, including the wage laws that we have. And so, you know, wage laws aren't just about the wages that a person receives on the job. It's also about the way that the employers pay into workers' comp and pay into unemployment benefits. So when you have workers where they're not being paid properly, the workers lose. They don't have the protections that they should have. But they also, the state loses because we're losing millions and millions of dollars from employers who are not, adhering to our laws. So having wage inspectors is really important because they can go out on the jobs, uncover the theft that's going on, and, you know, stop jobs if necessary to make sure everybody is paid properly and has the proper protections. So these are really, that's a, one of several really important jobs that will affect the building trades this year. And we're also looking at wage theft and how do we stop it. So there are two other bills, one for construction sites that are covered by prevailing wage. That means public works sites where the state is paying contractors for jobs that we're doing. We have a bill that would allow, upon notice from the Department of Labor, would allow the comptroller to stop paying the contract. So that's like another way to get at wage theft. And then the third is to make sure that in our residential projects, private sector projects, we're also not allowing wage theft, and there are protections that we're working on in that regard as well. So, you know, this, the construction industry is an incredibly important part of our state. We wouldn't have the ability to work in such a beautiful building as the Legislative Office Building if there hadn't been trades workers who made sure that building was constructed properly and strong, and that we don't have to worry about the ventilation system, and we don't have to worry about crumbling foundations. And that's really about what these bills are about. They're really about making sure that our construction industry is in, has, you know, that our laws governing the construction industry are enforced, and that workers in our state are paid good wages with good benefits and help to build a stronger state. So,
you know,
it's important.
We talked a little bit about history here, and we're going to come up on the news in just about a minute. But when we come back, we'll talk about prevailing wage. Prevailing wage, the Davis-Bacon Law, was a bill passed by two Republican congressmen, Davis and Bacon. Bacon was from Philadelphia. Davis was from Long Island. I may have it reversed. And signed by a Republican President Herbert Hoover. They knew that the capitalist market needed to be regulated and massaged and encouraged to go in the right direction in order to protect workers way back in the early part of the last century. So we're going to come back with State Senator Julie Kushner, a champion for the workers in Connecticut, right after the news.
Join the conversation, 203-333-9422. Back to Wake Up with Bill Finch. Live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And we're back with State Senator Julie Kushner from Danbury, whose district is very similar to the districts around the greater Bridgeport area. A lot of working class people who rely on tough legislators to protect them. And we were talking about several of the bills that Senator Kushner is pushing hard. You know, one of the things we're talking about, more inspectors to stop the wage theft, which also steals from the taxpayer because the products that are delivered are subpar. The unemployment compensation contributions aren't made. Workers' comp isn't made. And that means that when someone's injured, we all pay through higher medical bills because someone's got to take care of the injured worker. So instead of having that be properly accounted for, unscrupulous developers all the time, many times, are ripping off not just the workers, but also the taxpayers who are not working on that project. You also have a bill that the AFL-CIO is very keen on, and that's to extend workers' unemployment compensation for strikes that last longer than 2 weeks. Would you like to explain that to the workers and why you feel that's important?
Sure. You know, under federal law, workers in the private sector have the right to strike when there's a contract dispute. So far, yes. It is a federally protected right that's been on the books for, you know, probably close to, not quite 100 years, but at least probably 70 or 80 years. And so workers have this right, but of course in today's economy, it's not really possible to exercise that right if you are in fear that you don't have the resources to feed your family or to pay your rent. And so when workers are on strike in both New York and New Jersey and in circumstances in many other states, workers are entitled to unemployment benefits. And when they have unemployment benefits, they may not, you know, they're not living high on the hog, but they have enough to provide the basic necessities for their family. And we feel like that's very, very important, especially at a time when workers' rights are being attacked, particularly from the federal government. Right now, there are not enough people serving on the National Labor Relations Board for that board to enforce the federal law. Something major happened just a few weeks ago in the whole history of the National Labor Relations Board. Never has a White House administration gone after the board the way this Trump administration did. They fired the chairman of the National Labor Relations Board, a job that
essentially
is
for doing his job and protecting workers.
Well, in this case, for doing her job.
Yes,
we still
right.
refer to it as the chairman. But Gwen Wilcox was named chairman of the National Labor Relations Board. By the way, the first Black woman ever to have served in that position. And he fired her. And it's unheard of. It's never happened in the entire, I think it's like a 90-year history of the National Labor Relations Board. Never has happened. And so, you know, right now there's no federal law there's no enforcement mechanism for any of the federal labor laws. So essentially, you know, now is absolutely more important than ever for us to stand with workers. And this is a way Connecticut can do that. The unemployment for striking workers bill passed both the House and the Senate last year. The governor unfortunately didn't see eye to eye with us on it, vetoed the bill. But we're hopeful and optimistic that in this iteration, we'll resolve some of the issues the governor had in terms of, you know, laying out very specifically how people qualify for this benefit and making sure that in these times we're standing with Connecticut's workers.
And we're talking with State Senator from Danbury, Julie Kushner, who is chair of the powerful labor committee in Hartford, protecting workers and their paychecks and their working conditions, along with her co-chair in the House, Manny Sanchez. And I've noticed, you know, I've been a student of this building for a long time, having served myself, and I've noticed a lot more partisanship than when I served, you know, 15 years ago. I've noticed that some far-right legislators have gotten traction on things like banning books and other things like, along those lines. You know, every other week on this show, Victoria Woodard from Orange Banned Book Club reviews a banned book, and every time the Moms for Liberty try to ban a book, the sales go up. So we're actually not against Moms for Liberty because they tend to promote the banned books sales. So I always cheer them on a little bit because they're actually helping to get people to read and read those books that are controversial. But have you noticed that there's more partisanship? I notice on your committee the vote is almost down the line, Democrat, Republican. I look for issues, and just to call one to mind, we like Representative Kurt Weill. He's not on your committee, but we like his bill to eliminate the pay if paid clause that some contractors hide behind in order to not pay their subcontractors. And I know that you have a similar bill. Are there ways that we can knit together some semblance of bipartisanship in this age of everybody's screaming at each other from their talking points? Not you or me.
Well, I think that, you know, surprisingly, there have been some bills in our committee this year that are bipartisan, which is interesting.
Talk
at least
about
getting
those.
The bill, at least getting the bill raised. And I think on the issue of wage theft, we did have testimony the other day, and I think there is at least there's an openness by one of our ranking members who was present to hear the testimony. And I think Representative Weir will have continued conversations about that. Unfortunately, the big bills that we have worked on in the last 6 years that I've been there, and we've passed more labor bills in the 6 years I've been there, and I'm not saying it's because of me. I think it's because of a lot of people in the legislature today really understand that we need to stand with working families.
Well,
in Connecticut.
Senate Democrats have got your back. I mean, Senator
Absolutely.
Looney and Senator Duff are champions
They're
for
amazing.
The working class. And
absolutely.
We were all just
really
together yesterday for the burial of the funeral mass of Senator Joe
right.
Crisco, who was a wonderful champion for workers. And, you know, you hate to get partisan, but why are all the pro-worker bills originating just from the Democrats when we look back through history, prevailing wage and others, you know, Sherman antitrust even, there were Republican supporters. What do we do?
I really think that the Republican Party has been led astray on so many levels. But here in Connecticut, when we passed the paid family medical leave bill, we did not have a single vote in favor of that from a Republican. Over the last 3 years, the state of Connecticut has paid out $1 billion in benefits to working families when they're sick or one of their loved ones is seriously ill, when people are having babies. I can't tell you, almost everywhere I go, I'll be in a conversation about, you know, what's going on in the legislature, and I talk about paid family medical leave. And everyone from the person who sold us our car at the car dealership to, you know, your dry cleaner, everybody has a story of somebody in their family or themselves using this benefit. And so, you know, why did these folks vote against it? Another, you know, really important example, increasing the minimum wage. We did that in 2019. We not only raised it to $15 over a phase-in over several years, but we also indexed it so that workers in our state who are working, the lowest wage workers, the workers that are working at minimum wage, are guaranteed an increase as other workers in our state are getting increases. So a good example, this year, there's a number of Republican bills to take away the indexing of the minimum wage. There are people who want to stop the indexing from applying to nonprofit workers. When you explain what the index is, it's saying that when workers in the state of Connecticut are getting a raise, that same percentage increase as an average is applied to the minimum wage. So now we're saying low-wage workers in Connecticut are going to get the same increases that other workers are getting. That's just basic fairness. So, you know, these bills that are coming from the other side of the aisle, from the Republicans in our legislature, would set back our state, would hurt working people. And you know, I'm very fortunate that we have, as you said, Senate President and a Majority Leader Duff and Looney. They're, you know, they have the backs of the working people in our state. And I have to say, you've mentioned a few times my co-chair from the House, Manny Sanchez, and it's just wonderful working with him. He's a guy who really gets it because he comes from a working class family. And so, you know, we're living in a time where we have leadership in the state that really is trying to promote and help the working families of Connecticut, and it's been my privilege to serve with them.
There are so many examples of how the Republican Party's been held captive by the far right. I know Representative Dubitsky's comments about those people who were killed by the state of Connecticut before it was the state of Connecticut, who were alleged to be witches. I know when I was a Senate, I put forward a draft bill that didn't go anywhere, but it said we needed to apologize to the ancestors of the predecessors of those people who came after them for not convicting those people who killed those women who they wanted to kill just by naming them witches. It was a very, very dark chapter in Connecticut's history. one which we've never made reparations for or apologies to. And I know that a bill was talked about in the last few sessions and something was passed. But when somebody like that representative makes these comments about, well, maybe they deserved it or something along those lines, I don't know exactly his quote, it just seems to pull further and further away from what's acceptable. I was explaining to somebody the other day, I've been in politics all my life. I have many Republican friends I'm very fond of. Sometimes I'm surprised to find out later in my life that that person was Republican because we had so many common interests in mind. But it used to be, Senator, that we would argue between the 100 yards on the football field. And sometimes we were on our own 40, and sometimes we were on their 40, and sometimes we were scoring. But now, treasonous Trump has brought us up into the cheap seats where we're fighting with the drunks. It's like, it's crazy, right? I mean, why would people like that representative have any sway within a decent party? The Republican Party used to be a very decent party full of ideals, and we would have debates over a beer with my Republican colleagues, and we'd all agree on the problems, and I would just allege that they were just too cheap to raise taxes to do anything about it, and we'd have another beer and we'd laugh about it, because that was essentially the difference. We all saw the problems. We all wanted to help Connecticut, but it doesn't seem like the other party, as nice as some of the people can be, wants to put both oars in the water.
Well, it's certainly a problem. I'll give you another example of an important bill that we're working on and the response of some of the Republicans in our legislature. We're working on a bill to protect warehouse workers with new technology going crazy the way it is. These folks who are working in these warehouses are being, you know, really worked to the bone. They're really suffering great injuries. And
especially in Mr. Bayhouse's Amazon. It's not just for him.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
it is absolutely. They're the leading example of this. And some of my colleagues in the legislature are saying, we shouldn't be interfering with private companies' businesses. And I'm thinking.
And I got to interrupt you for 1 second because we've got to take a break, but we're going to come back about what Julie is doing to protect warehouse workers in the state of Connecticut. We'll be right back after these messages.
Talking about what matters to you this morning. Wake up with Bill Finch. WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And I'm so honored to welcome back into our studio Senator Julie Kushner from Danbury. She's trying desperately hard to fight against this wave of warehouses moving into Connecticut and other parts of the United States. It seems like the most important thing to some Americans is that the Amazon package lands on their doorstep when they want it and be damned to the federal government and workers' rights. But instead, we want to make sure these workers are protected in all of these warehouses. And Senator, tell us what you've heard about what these workers are up against and what your bill could do to protect them while still making the warehouse owners lots of money.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, you know, I've ordered from Amazon and I love it when I get my packages the next day. But I really didn't understand until we started taking testimony, public hearing about these warehouses and how they operate. And what we're hearing is shocking. It feels like you're living in another, you know, past century, where workers are tracked every minute of every day while they're in that warehouse. Their activities are tracked. So anytime they're not on task, as they say, that is tracked. If they go to the restroom, if they take a lunch break, they work with these quotas that force them to work faster and faster. And they often don't know even what is the bottom line, what is the quota or the mark that they're going to fall below and lose their job or be disciplined. And so it's a constant race. And what we're finding is that the injury levels in particularly in Amazon are very high, higher than in other similar workplaces. And so that's when workers are getting hurt on the job. That's when government is supposed to step in. After hearing this testimony, we drafted a bill that would require that people can take their breaks, both their restroom breaks and their lunch breaks, without the need to then make up the time lost in these high quotas so that they're not really break times. It is really critical that we step in. And, you know, when some of my colleagues have said, you know, from across the aisle, they're saying, well, government shouldn't interfere in the relationship of private enterprise. But in fact, the part of the hallmark of our country is that we have passed laws for a century protecting workers from being hurt on the job. And that is one of the essential functions of government. Everybody has to work. Everybody has to work. Unless you inherit so much wealth, you don't have to work. But we're not running into those folks in the legislature. Everyone has to work. They should be guaranteed a safe workplace.
One of my pet peeves is Senator Sampson and others who are truly diehard libertarians who don't believe in part of the underpinnings of our government, as you so eloquently stated, is that we have a capitalist system that's regulated. Then we have other markets that are totally regulated, like the electrical transmission industry is regulated. So we don't just say, libertarians, have your day, hire and fire anybody you want. There's no rights. It's just fight to the finish. The strongest survive. That's libertarianism. And they don't say that I'm a libertarian. I mean, libertarians don't really even believe in government. We socialize in the United States the cost we share or socialize the cost of roads and bridges and worker protection and environmental protection and cancer research and all the wonderful things that government can do. And then we have libertarians who benefit from all that, who come in on their sort of ideological high horse and say, well, the workers there in the warehouse, they could just go find another job. Well, what kind of a state do you want to live in? What kind of a...
Right.
Julie, you and I know from talking to you, I know where your heart is. I know where Duff and Looney's heart is. We love Connecticut. We think we're doing great. We've got one of the highest standards of living in the world. Our workers, although there's much work to do, are some of the best compensated workers. The electricians that I work with are some of the most skilled workers in the world. And instead of giving them a parade, I have to fight off legislation to take their skills away, to take their training away, to take their learning, to take their wages away. I don't understand why libertarians get involved in government in the first place. They don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, last week we had testimony about a bill that's before us that would include workers on offsite fabrication jobs to have the same prevailing wage that they earn when they're on site. So that testimony was amazing because we listened to these young folks talk about the work they do. And, you know, we really can't conceive of it. It's very high tech now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very skilled. And in order for buildings to be constructed safely, these guys got to really know what they're doing. And we're talking about operating huge high tech machinery that has actually moved construction into a much better place where there's much more accuracy when you're building a lot of the work off-site in these
sure.
high-tech factories. But what's crazy is that a worker can be working on one of these high-tech machines inside a plant, building,
parts of
venting,
a building. Right.
The big, huge vents that go with the HVAC systems. And then they bring it to the work site. When they're on the work site installing it, they're making more money than when they built that high-tech, operated those high-tech machineries off-site, and that makes no sense at all. So we're saying that where taxpayer dollars are concerned, where we're doing public work, that work off-site has to be paid at the same prevailing rate that is paid when you're on-site. And, they described over the last several decades, there's been this move towards offsite fabrication. It's a good thing. It's a good move. But about 30% of the work now in a construction project is done offsite. And I don't think we ever intended when we passed prevailing wage bills in this country and in the state of Connecticut, we didn't intend for a worker to make one wage when they were onsite and another wage when they were in the offsite production unit. So, that was fascinating testimony. I will say most people, myself included, and Bill, I was part of the labor movement my whole life, 42 years in the United Auto Workers.
You didn't know this was going on, did you?
I didn't know how buildings were built, and nobody thinks about that. But we want to make sure here in Connecticut that we're ensuring that the people who build our buildings are paid well and have good benefits, because that really is protecting the middle class.
Well,
in our state.
You and the Senate Democrats are doing great work. We're finishing up this hour. We've talked about banning books. We know that you're working hard to rein in the excesses of AI and return special ed funding to the towns and cities. We know you're working on pharmacy prices and all the things for workers. I want to thank you for your help with the building trades. One of the things we testified on this week was not to change the ratio of apprenticeship hiring. And while we often find at these public hearings wonderful ideas coming out like you did with the offsite fabrication, it's amazing some Democrats in our legislature still don't understand the building trades and how devastating fooling around with ratios and things like that have lasted for 100 years. They don't get it. And the business market, the business model of the building trades is beautiful, unique, and I love it. And I love to be working with you and all the other legislators that get it and understand it and protect workers. I'm so happy you came on the show.
Hey, Bill, let's just be clear, though. That bill that you're talking about that's going to impact, that would intend to impact the ratios of apprentices, that's not in the Labor Committee.
Right.
We knew not to take up that bill.
Thank
and it's
you.
Not in general law where people understand this.
And I'm glad you corrected that. We're running out of time, but this has been so productive. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We want you back on at the end of the session to talk about how you made life for workers in Connecticut better off. Thank you, Senator Julie Kushner. We'll
Absolutely.
See you back next week on Wake Up on WICC and WEBE.